Miss Sahagan wanted to sell her property. She was going to fix it up, stage it.
Her tenant was unwilling to vacate.
You begged her to stay. You said, I'll keep the place neat.
I didn't beg.
But a long trip shortened her tenancy.
When you left, you moved in a pig with a cat. A realtor came in and said, kitty litter around. There were beer cans around.
That was actually staged by them.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinlein. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Leah Peterson is suing her former landlord, Wendy Story Sahagan, for damages from an illegal eviction and lockout.
Order. All rise.
Case number 242 on the calendar, the matter of Peterson versus Story Sahagan. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Gentlemen, have a seat, huh?
All right, Miss Peterson, let me see if I understand your complaint. You and two roommates rented a townhouse from the defendant, and you were tenants of the defendant for 5 years. You paid your rent, and she was a good landlord. Because you don't look like a fool to me. You wouldn't have stayed if she wasn't a good landlord and if you weren't happy there.
Right.
And then Miss Sahagan decided, which is well within her right, that she wanted to sell her property. And she told you and your roommates that she was going to sell the property, fix it up, stage it, you know, for sale. So evidently, during the time that you and your roommates were in the property, you kept it in good condition, so she was able to stage it. Your two roommates did what they were supposed to do. They found another place to live and moved out. You, on the other hand, begged her to stay. You said, I'll keep the place neat.
I didn't beg.
I bought property and I sold it. Some things make sense, some things don't. I read your complaint and I read her answer. They were short, just in case, you know, the 10 million people who watch here every day know. This is the whole complaint that you wrote. And we didn't speak to each other.
No.
So I'm getting what I'm getting from this and from living on this earth for 71 years. So you said to her, let me stay. I'm going to just stay in my room. Everything else is going to be just perfect because I'm not there all the time. So when a realtor comes, they'll be able to come and show the place so you can sell it. That have a ring of truth to you?
Yes. Yeah, it does. There was an agreement on that.
Hey, you got where I'm going that so far it doesn't look good for you.
So, I disagree.
Hey. So what you did was, as she's showing the house, because now it's been staged, right?
Yes.
Staged means you put everything nice, the colors are coordinated, you put nice pictures out, you know, of Cary Grant and Sophia Loren and...
Well, that's what I had. I had Marilyn Monroe.
I'm speaking. It's my playpen, not yours.
I'm sorry.
So you make everything look nice for people that come in. And then you left. You went someplace on business. On what date did you leave the house? Month, date, and year.
I actually left for a family emergency.
I don't care about family emergency.
For a funeral.
Don't strike
and I
me.
Left
what
July
month,
9.
Day and year.
July 9, 2014.
And you don't have pets, correct?
No.
And when you were living there with two roommates, did you have pets?
No.
No. And you did have a lease with her that said nobody else could live there, just you and your two roommates, right?
I do have that. I have a copy of the lease which states that I can have transient friends and relatives stay.
We're not talking about transient friends and relatives. We're talking about a situation where she was doing you a favor and letting you stay on your guarantee that the place would be perfect for showing because she was selling it. And when you left on July 9th, you moved in a pig with a cat.
That's incorrect.
A pig with a cat. And I assume, Miss Peterson, that you didn't ask her if you could move in this pig and this cat when you were away. And when you left July 9th, on what date did you come back?
August 26th.
So you were gone for almost 2 months, leaving the pig and the cat in the house. Now, the pig and the cat did not make an agreement with Miss Sahagan to keep the place spick and span. This pig had no history with her of 5 years. And did the pig pay you any money?
No.
So you were just letting him squat there?
No, he there wasn't was nothing... squatting. He was house-sitting.
No, he wasn't house-sitting for you. There was nothing to house-sit for. You don't have a canary. You don't have a goldfish. You don't have a dog.
Personal...
You don't have anything.
I had my personal possessions still locked
inside. Then you could have put
the
them in storage. She would have been really happy if you put your personal belongings in storage since you were gone for 2 months.
Well, not according
so what you're
to our
asking...
verbal
hey,
agreement.
I'm speaking. I'm almost finished. And then I'm going to give you 30 seconds of your nonsense lawsuit. So she came, she takes a look at the house, because maybe a realtor came in. A realtor came in and said, ah!
Yes.
I'm bringing a prospective buyer come in. There's a kitty litter around. There are beer cans around. There's stuff all over the place.
That was actually staged by them. That,
you
those
you mean the kitty?
Were
you
staged.
Mean the kitty? The
no,
kitty
we did
litter
not
was,
stage hey, that
the
at
kitty,
all.
Don't speak. The kitty litter was staged by them?
No, not the kitty litter.
Well, I'm asking you, the kitty
like
litter was staged by them.
Any other trash that they said was scattered about
Ms.
the
Peterson,
apartment.
Ms. Peterson, you're
pictures.
Not getting any money for an illegal eviction. That's not happening. I want you to get that through
but
your
I
noodle.
But I have evidence on my lease here that states that I can have transient friends.
What I'm telling
stay.
You is,
no, that's
ah,
right.
period.
With,
you're
without.
Not getting any money. And you're not getting your security back because your junk was there in August. And you last paid rent in July. You see, what I'm having a problem with, Ms. Peterson, is she was being nice to you. And I get that from your complaint, not even from her answer. I get that from your complaint. She was being nice to you. And what you did was, without asking her, understanding what the circumstance was, just a minute, are you telling me you asked her if you could move somebody else in? No, just a second. Don't shake your head. No, just answer the question. When you shook your head, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you did ask her if you could move in somebody else. Did you ask her?
I did not need to.
No, I didn't say, no. Listen, passive-aggressive. The only one who's passive-aggressive here is me. She was being nice to you. She was saying, you know, we asked you all to leave. You said, oh, I don't have a place to go. Maybe I have to
stay
in the emergency. Maybe I busted my toe. Whatever
they
it is, I'm going
to
stay. I'm going to stay, and I'm going to be neat. Because she had a history with you, so she knew you had taken pretty good care of the property in 5 years. You and your two roommates. Reasonable enough so that she was willing to say, I'll stage the house and you stay in your little space. Maybe you knew you were going away, maybe you didn't know you were going away. I don't know, because I don't believe a word that comes out of your mouth. But you put somebody else in there without asking her. Because if you had asked her, listen, I'm going to put this guy in the house. Was it a guy?
Yes.
See how I know? I'm going to put this guy in the house who has a cat, but I guarantee you he's going to keep the place as neat as I and my roommates kept it. She would have said, forget it. I gave you a notice. It was a legitimate notice. You
she
have to be out.
She did not give me a notice. You're... I received no notice.
We have a notice.
We have a notice.
What, but just a second. Notice. Then what caused your two roommates to leave?
Because they stated to them that they were selling the apartment.
That's right.
We told everybody.
That's right. They stated to them and to you.
Which I did not get any sort of a statement.
Let me,
I got a picture message from my neighbor, and that's how I found out that they put it up.
Let me explain
no,
something
we
to you.
To you
I don't
that.
Believe a
email.
Word that you're
yeah.
saying to
we
me.
We have an email. We have an email that we sent
I don't
that we
believe a word
you.
That you say. She's going to show me something. I don't believe a word. You're getting no money. You deserve no money. Not your security deposit back. Not damages for illegal eviction. Put your hand down. You did the wrong thing. Somebody was being nice to you because you didn't wake up one morning and find your two roommates missing. They lived with you for 5 years. They say, gee, I wonder where they went. I'm going to look under the kitchen table to see where they went. You knew that they left because the landlord, who had been their landlord and a good landlord for 5 years, because with your mouth, you weren't going to stay with somebody who wasn't a good landlord for 5 years, who was a good landlord for 5 years. They said she's selling her home. That's her prerogative to sell her home. It's her property. She gave us notice. Your two roommates, as I said, you didn't look
give
for them
me
under
proper notice.
Your case is dismissed.
It was
now,
verbal.
Having gone through that,
let me appeal
your hand
that.
I'm not finished.
Let me
I'm not finished
that.
With this case. I'm on to the counterclaim.
Because this one, it
I'm
says
not on to the
I can
hey.
Have other tenants pa- other
listen
than
to me. Listen to me.
Immediate
listen
family.
To me.
It shall.
Listen
I,
to
ne-
me.
I do need.
Listen to me. Are you
landlord's
happy she's
consent.
Gone? Hey, Mr. Hagen, are you happy she's gone?
Yes,
are
I am.
Are you happy she's gone?
Yes.
Are you willing to say goodbye to her?
I would really like to say goodbye.
Say goodbye to her. I'm saying goodbye to her. Case is
I
over. That's
had,
all.
I had an illegal lockout as well, and they locked the mailbox.
No, it's not
goodbye.
No, no, no. It's not an illegal lockout.
Please are excused. You may step out.
I wasn't out to get. Anybody hurt or do anything like that?
They illegally locked me out.
But I needed to sell my house, and it was not...
While I was still paid up.
Acceptable selling it with the cat box and stuff all over the place.
Justice doesn't prevail, and the good person always ends up at the bottom.
I believe that it was the right decision, and I do believe that justice prevailed.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Johnson versus Maldonado. Step forward.
Ann Johnson is suing Adrian and Mary Maldonado for scamming her on a deal for a 67 Chevy Impala.
Oh, this is about an almost 60-year-old used car. So you buy a 60-year-old car online. That would be your first clue that maybe you shouldn't do that. But a 60 years old is probably a car that you were hankering for a long time. Now, you actually had a family issue that you were going from one state to another. While you were in the other, you were going to stop by and pick up this car that you were sort of making a not direct route. It was a family funeral, is that what it was?
That is correct.
And then okay. So while you were going to the funeral, you were going to stop by and pick up the car. Ms. Johnson, you appear to be a relatively intelligent person, right?
Yes.
So you buy a 60-year-old car online, 60-year-old Chevy Impala.
Yes.
I dated a boy that had a Chevy Impala convertible. That didn't work out. But it's a beautiful-looking car. But, you know, I mean, it's a 60-year-old car. Things start to go wrong when you're 50. You just ask Bird over here, he'll tell you. Things go a little wrong, a little bit wrong. Well, you know, same things happen with a car.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
So, Bird, let me read you what this says.
Okay.
I re-chromed the bumpers, grill, corners, and light covers, and they are just sitting in the garage. Me, in my head, that would say the car is in pieces in my garage.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Ann Johnson says Adrian and Mary Maldonado scammed her on the sale of a 67 Chevy Impala.
So you bought this car online. Can I see the ad that you had in the paper? Ma'am. Was it on Craigslist or one of those online things? Actually, thank God for those things. Been keeping this program in business. Okay. So, Bird, let me read you what this says.
Okay.
Selling a 1967 Chevy Impala. Serious inquiries. Bumpers are off due to re-chroming, but are complete. Which I don't quite understand, because if you chrome the bumpers and you were selling the car, it would seem to me people are going to come look at it. You would put the bumpers back on the car rather than have the bumpers off the car. That just would be a selling point if the bumpers were on the car.
Right.
He did put them on the car. I'm sorry. Right. I didn't mean to interrupt.
But I wouldn't even put it in here.
I know.
That said the bumpers are off the car. I re-chromed the bumpers, grill, corners, and light covers, and they are just sitting in the garage. Okay, so me, in my head, that would say the car is in pieces in my garage. So not only are the car pieces in the garage, but it just needs wire hardness. I don't know what that means. Maybe you do. And booster brake cylinder. And this is a must-see for $7,000. Okay? And by the way, in big block letters, the rims are not included. So you answer this and you know. You buy a used car, you buy a used car as is, no guarantees, no nothing. So I want you to tell me, after you read this, you contact him by email or on phone?
Via phone.
Okay, and you have a conversation with him. Tell me about the conversation.
I explained to him that I was going to my mother's funeral and that this was a car I had wanted for a long time and that what I really would like to do, if it is in drivable condition, drive it back from Texas to Minnesota. That was the only reason I was interested in it, because I was going to have my two best friends fly out and drive back with me because it was
just
a very hard time.
So you want to know that this, some sort of assurance that this 60-year-old car would make the trip from Texas to Minnesota. My geography is so bad. How many miles is that?
It's about 1,300 miles.
That's a lot of miles.
Yes.
It's not like going to the grocery store,
no,
which is what most people do with an antique car. Go to the grocery store, you know, take it and hang out, and let other people look at it, go to shows. So he says, no question. Car can do that, right? So you make the trip there.
Yes.
You get there, the car's not running.
That's correct.
He says he needs some money to get the car in running condition.
Correct.
So you give him how much money?
I gave him $500 in advance towards the car itself because he promised that is what it would take to get it ready to drive to Minnesota.
Okay. So he was giving you the car for $7,000, less $500.
Correct.
Okay. So what you had done at that point was when you gave him the money, that deal was executed.
Yes.
Okay.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
I don't know what they do in El Paso, Texas, but I know what they do in New York when they want to sell a car. You take off this plate, you put on that plate, you drive it around the block, keep your fingers crossed and go.
But see,
you know that, sir. You know, you're talking to me.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Ann Johnson says Adrian and Mary Maldonado scammed her on the sale of a 67 Chevy Impala.
Okay, so you purchased the car.
No, I apologize. I said, this is toward the $500 towards the car. I have the checks for you. And then he started changing things. So I said, but I also need to make sure it's up and running and bring it to the actual gentleman who needs to look at the car. He wouldn't let me do that. I admit I was thinking with emotions and heart and not
listen to
smart.
Me. What I'm telling you is from a legal perspective, if you came to terms on the price of the car, which was $7,000.
Yes, that is accurate.
And you gave him $500.
That is correct.
Which is what you want back. From him. You gave him $500 because he said, I can get the car up and running, but you have to give me part of the purchase price in order to do that.
I felt for him because he said he needed the money for his daughter's quinceañera.
Yes.
I apologize.
Doesn't matter. That's what it is. Purchase the car. You gave him the $500 towards the purchase price. You were coming to pick up the car. Bottom line was, you did not pick up the car because...
Because he kept saying next day, and next day would be ready, and he promised for days on end, and I...
How many days?
It ended up being at least a week or more, where he knew I had to fly home.
Give me the day. Shh.
I'm sorry.
Give me the day you arrived in Texas to see the car.
The 27th, I believe.
I want you to make very certain to me.
Okay.
What was the date that you arrived to see the car?
Oh, the 25th, that's correct, right there.
Of April.
Of April.
April 25th. So on the 25th, you saw the car.
Yes.
You loved the car. He said, I need $500 to get it running and working. You gave him the $500.
Yes,
right?
Because I fell in love with the story of the car as well.
I care.
I'm sorry.
Not a therapist, judge.
No, I understand.
Therapist, you go someplace else.
It just became frustrating because I should have been dealing with his wife and not him because he obviously didn't have control of the situation.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's a contract.
Yes, the contract was to pay in check, and then he kept started demanding cash.
Just a second. I don't care. April 25th, he agreed on a purchase price, gave him $500 towards the purchase price. He was supposed to, in exchange for that $500, get the car running.
Yes, ma'am.
When did you get the car running?
By the 1st, I believe, ma'am.
I don't want to hear
the 1st.
The first of May.
Yes, ma'am.
That's not true, because I tried to get him to drive it to our mechanic, and he couldn't even get it to go an hour away. So he's lying. It was never up and running.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by... Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now, what happened, sir?
Well, I fixed the car. And I towed it because it had no plates. So I towed it to her hotel, and she didn't have all the money.
Don't speak.
I'm sorry.
She didn't have all the money.
Just a second.
Yes, ma'am.
So what you're telling me is you started the engine and showed her that it started.
Yes, ma'am.
But she never drove anywhere.
No, ma'am.
She gets her money back.
Why would she get her money back?
Because I said so. Because he didn't fulfill his part of the contract. His part of the contract says, if you give me $500, I'll get it running. And he didn't get it running because he knows he could have taken the plates off one of his cars and driven it around the block and said, the car is in perfect running order. You're sitting in the car, you're driving in the car, it's driving you around. You know that, sir. You know, you're talking to me. Where do you come from?
Paso, Texas.
Texas. I'm from New York. I don't know what they do in El Paso, Texas, but I know what they do in New York when they want to sell a car and say, you want to see it around go around the block? You take off this plate, you put it on that plate, you drive it around the block, keep your fingers crossed and go home.
But see, she had the chance to drive the car. When I took it to her hotel, she said, I don't have all the money.
You
I only have $4,300.
Just a second. I wouldn't give you all the cash either if you towed the car to the hotel, Mr. Maldonado. Now, you don't get your expenses back.
I didn't think so. You chalk that
up to your own stupidity.
I agree with that.
But you get your $500 back.
I appreciate that.
Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $500. That's all.
Buddies, I excuse you. May step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
A soldier's pet on the move.
You found her wandering on a country road. The dog was in miserable condition. Instead of saying thank you to her, you take the police to her house.
Judge Judy.
I opened my heart to that car, and I was not smart.
I did my part, which was fix the car, get it running for her.
And I just kept digging in and should have said no at the beginning.
She's the one that backed out of the deal. So.
I was being stupid, but part of me knew it, but
I just think that she just wasn't thinking straight.
My heart was working and not my head.
So when I actually told her what I wanted for the car, she backed out.
I was in a hard place and I fell in love with the car. He was a liar.
And I won't do it again. People come out crazy.
I knew I was taking a gamble and I lost.
I'm glad it's finished and
it's my own fault.
Well, it is what it is, right?